Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Welcome. What an honor it is for me to bring the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, if you are our guests here, please feel right at home. You can certainly listen to the message. But I'll tell you, it's wonderful to engage the Scriptures. So if you did not happen to bring your hardbound Bible or you have an electronic Bible, please let's power that thing up. Let's open it up to the book of Judges. Matter of fact, if you need the Wi-Fi, you'll see on the inside sleeve there that our Hope Wi-Fi is our Wi-Fi that is accessible to you. The password is also listed there. And you're going to need the bulletin because in the back of the bulletin is today's outline of the message. We are in our summer series. That summer series is entitled Falling Up, Learning from the Failures of Others, really is what it is, learning from failures. And isn't it nice? It's refreshing, matter of fact, to be able to learn from other people's mistakes and in so doing, eliminate those challenges that might come in our direction. Man, have we been seeing some Lulus, I'm telling you. And today, we're taking a look at a title of the message, A Superhero Loses His Cape. We're dealing with Samson. So we're in the book of Judges, the seventh book in the Bible. So, man, let's go for that. Let's go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, right? There you go. Yeah, we're going to sing it all. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? Joshua, Judges. Good. We're there. We'll eventually land there, won't we? Chapter 14. Let's take a look at that. I really do want you to find the Scriptures because we're going to look into the Bible. If you've never really had a time of the Bible where you're saying, wow, sure enough, it does say that. It does. That's what that means. It's nothing like the Word bringing faith and bringing stability. That's what I love about the Bible. It's what helps me as a man. You can always tell a person that has solid doctrine or understands Scripture, they just feel a little more secure, a little more at ease in their mannerisms. I love that, and I like my life in Jesus and his word. Well, we're taking a look at a superhero, and so we'll start with a story of Batman and Robin went camping. And in the camping, they went ahead, cooked their meal, they set up their tent, they went to sleep at night. In the middle of the night, Batman wakes up Robin. Robin, do you see anything? So he opens up his eyes and he says, holy jeepers, Batman, I see star upon star upon stars. Batman says, what does that teach you? He says, that teaches me we're going to have a beautiful day tomorrow, Batman. What does that show you, Batman? He says, dummy, that tells me somebody stole our tent. So you can have a superhero that's not very smart or super smart. And we're taking a look at somebody. Everybody knows about Samson. Somewhere along the line, everybody's heard of Samson, been a story about him. And we're in the book of Judges now. We were in Joshua last Sunday. We're in the book of Judges. The historical element of this book is that these are individuals that God uses to set the nation of Israel free from oppressing nations that come after them. Judges happens before the very first king of Israel is installed. So therefore, as you see in the beginning of the book of Judges, if you've been reading your Bible through the year with us, you'll recognize that Judges starts with the phrase and ends with this phrase, and everybody did what was in their hearts. In other words, there was no real organizational structure, but he just went at it. But the problem was their hearts were not loyal to God. What they knew in starting off great in this promised land, great startup, that eventually they denied or forsook the Lord. And the Lord just allowed the surrounding nations to oppress them until they cried out, oh Lord, we're sorry, please help us. And he would raise up a judge. And that's the whole book of the Judges, is that you would have this up with God, let's backslide with God. Up with God, because he delivered us, backslide with God. That is the whole element of the book of Judges. Samson is one of those judges. He rules for 20 years. Now, it's interesting because Samson is found in four chapters of the book of Judges. Chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. That is one-fifth of the book of Judges. So he takes a pretty significant role. And there's something about this man because he's complicated. He's puzzling. He's an enigma. I mean, there's something about him because with that, he's empowered by the Spirit of God, but he's easily overcome by the weakness of his own flesh. He yields to the appetite of his flesh. There's something about him that though he's out there conquering just his enemies by day, man, he's being conquered by his bigger enemy on the inside. He shows himself strong to men, but man, he's weak to women. He shows himself ability to really do God's battles by day, and then by night he disobeys him. It's a puzzler, and God uses him. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 32, he actually has his name in the Heroes Hall of Faith among some other dignitaries. So, though he would be a man that's listed in the Heroes Hall of Faith, he is unfaithful to his parents. He's unfaithful to his vows. He's unfaithful to his God. And we're going to see some things. So the setting here before we launch on into chapter 14, we start to see some things because the Philistines are dominating now the nation of Israel. And they're crying out. Philistines, who are they? Well, they're from Greece. In 1200 BC, they decided to come from Greece and go into the Mediterranean area. They first went after, history says, to conquer Egypt. They were defeated by Egypt, came back up to the coastal line of Israel, and established five stronghold cities, five cities, Ashkelon. Also, they had Ashdod, Gaza, Gath, and then Ekron. And so with that, these cities dominated and caused the nation of Israel to serve the Philistines. We have Samson raises up, and it's interesting because as a principal judge, he does a little good. He makes a little bit of a dent. He doesn't eradicate the problem. And we're going to see some things as we see his steps downward. Any one of these steps that you or I might step into would cause some problems in our lives, no doubt about it. To take all five of these, you see why there's a collapse in this man's life. Though he's a superhero, he loses something big time. So let's take a look at our first point. Samson disrespected his parents. I'm in verse 1. Let's look for a moment here. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from among the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Let's take a look here for a moment because, man, Samson has a godly heritage. He has godly parents, and he's going to disrespect them. But if you look even for a moment, just even write that down, in chapter 13, verse 3, man, his parents, Manoah's father, and his mother, they have an angelic visitation of the angel of God. Some theologians think this is a pre-incarnate visit of Jesus because he mentions, I am, or my name is wonderful. And he visits Manoah's wife and says, you're barren. You have no children, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have a son, and he's going to be dedicated to God. He's going to take on the Nazirite vow. And in so doing, which means he's going to be holy unto God, He's going to be dedicated to God. He's going to be consecrated to God. So you see an amazing thing that's happening. All of a sudden, chapter 13 ends. Look at verse 23. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at Manah Dan, between Zorah and Estel. So we see a couple of things here. First of all, check it out. In that two verse, we see two things. Man, God blessed the child right out the gate. He's blessed. And the Spirit of God starts to move upon him. And then in chapter 14 that we just read, his first coming out of the gate into public, he starts to go 4 miles south into another neighborhood called Timnah. In other words, bad neighborhood. You hang in bad neighborhood, you're going to start to hook up with bad people. And that's what we start to see happen here. So with that, the initial stages of his public life, wrong places, and all of a sudden you start to see wrong things happening. In chapter 14, look at verse 2. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah. She pleases me well. In other words, he hasn't even spoken to this gal. He sees a beautiful Philistine. It's amazing to me. I love this gal. I like her. Get her for me. Can you imagine? And then dear dad says, listen, isn't there one among our own kinfolk? How about all of Israel? Why don't you pick instead of one of these uncircumcised Philistines, one of these unbelievers? Don't do that. Because, see, his father knew, and any Israelite who would want to reverence God, recognize in Deuteronomy 7, as well as Exodus 34, God commanded the nation of Israel, when you go into this great land, man, it's going to be plush. Make sure of this, you do not give your sons to their daughters in marriage. You do not give your daughters to their sons in marriage, because they will turn their hearts away from me. So that's why he's saying, don't do this. It wasn't like, man, what's wrong with that dad? It sounds like he's like picking and choosing, like arranged marriage. No, he knew the word, and he knew what was going on. But he wanted this woman. Not spoken, get her for me. Now, he should have said, I saw her. He should have said, I lust her. I saw her. I now love her. He should say, I lust her. Now, it's interesting to note, because that's an amazing just motivation when somebody, oh, I think I'm in love. How do you know? I saw somebody. And many of you are aware of my term called kitty cat love, right? I've expressed that. Some of you shaking your head, what? Well, kitty cat love, especially to the young ladies who are single, remind you, be careful, because there can be those times when a man comes up and says, I love you. They might actually be saying, I lust you. It's kind of like a cat. I remember many years ago coming into an invited home. I'm right there at the entrance, and this big cat comes up, greets me, and is just rubbing itself on my legs. And then the owner said, oh, my cat loves you, Pastor Paul. I said, really? We just met. Yeah, I could tell he's just going right at you like this. I said, that cat doesn't love me. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. It's loving itself on my leg. Ugh. That's gross. How can this cat love me? And this is the same way. Sometimes somebody, oh, I love you, honey. No, they don't. They just want to love their body on your body. It's kitty cat love. Be careful about that. And we see that with Samson. I see this beautiful. Have you talked? No, but I saw her. Should say, man, I lust her. Get her for me, Dad. So we see here something that's going on in total disregard. So Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. And it's interesting as we take a look, that footnote being, he's just overriding dad and he says, listen, get her for me. So we see this is what happens here. It's amazing when dealing with this aspect. The second point is that Samson disregarded his God. Let's look at verse 5. So he totally disregarded and disrespected his parents. The next step being he disregarded his God. Verse 5, it says, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father, and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman. Now, this is the first time he's talking to her. Honey, I love you. What's your name? Oh. And she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he had returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. And when he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Let's take a look here for a moment, because in this, he's a Nazirite. If you look at Numbers chapter 6, there you have the listing. God says, this dedicated person, this is what they'll be responsible to doing, dedicated to me. There's three things that a Nazirite must maintain. One was they were not to cut their hair. In that day, for a man to show up with long hair, it was a point of humility. Kind of the more rattier the hair, maybe dreads, I don't know, was a point of humility in that time. Second thing is that they were not to touch dead things, not to touch, become defiled. That means they could not attend the funeral of a relative, not even their parent. It was a part of their dedication to God. The third, no intoxicating drink, and especially anything of the vine. Wine, grapes, no. Raisins, no. So that was important. Nothing of that sort. So when we take a look here, we see something, because isn't it interesting? First thing, he starts to come on here, and if you look at verse 5 again. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, that's not in there by accident. He's not supposed to be near grapes, and he's going near what? Vineyards. Isn't it interesting? Kind of like, I'm just going to kind of see how close I can get to these things. Though he has a vow unto God, a Nazirite vow. No wine, no grapes, no raisins, nothing from the vines. So in that, he comes close. Can you see how he's just kind of like seeing how much he can be tempted? There's something in that person like that. There's something that comes along every now and then where a person starts to see, I wonder how close I can get. I have that question asked me from time to time. Hey, Pastor Paul, how close can I really, or can I actually do this thing and still be a Christian? Would God still accept me if I kind of linger in these circles? Because, you know, I want to kind of like win some and do something for God. So it's interesting, we see something happening to Samson. So he starts to play games. The other thing is, in verse 9, he took some of the honey in his hands from the carcass of that lion. That lion's a dead thing. So now he further defiles himself. He defiles his relationship with his parents. He's defiling his relationship with God. Why would he do that? Why would he break his vows like that? Well, question is, those vows really were meaningless to him. That's really kind of what it is. It meant nothing to him at that time. That was the reason, was not important. There are those times, and you know, man, Hope Chapel, this church, legally is named Huntington Beach Four Square Church. This church, as you know, we celebrated 86 years. So many of, all of you weren't here before that started. And this church was planted by two twin sisters who are age 18. They started a revival here in what's called the Swamps. And lo and behold, aren't they glad they came? Because look, you're here today. So in the meantime, when we see what happened, there could be those that still come back and say, "Why, boy, man, hey, Paul, I was dedicated in that church. I gave my life. I was water baptized in that church." Well, hey, how's that walk going with you now? How's it? Well, you know, I have my ups and downs, my ins and outs. It's kind of like Samson. Man, you were dedicated to God. How's that working for you lately? Well, you know, I've got my ins and my outs. So oftentimes that can happen to people, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised. When for this man, Samson, his issue was not putting God first, which is, as you know, biblically, it's idolatry. It's idolatry. It's the top 10 commandment. Don't have any other gods. Don't have anything else before me. Make sure. That just makes a solid, happy life and environment. So number three, Samson distanced his friends. So we take a look. He disrespected his parents. He disregarded his God. Now number three, Samson distanced his friends. Let's take a look here at verse 10. It says, so his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Now, let's check this out a little bit. We're talking about friends, but it is worth noting because verse 10, his father went down with him. Some translators think, well, his dad's probably hanging on saying, you sure you want to do this, Samson? You sure? He's like, we could still maybe pull this wedding off another place with somebody else. Who knows? But it is worth noting because there's a feast. See the word feast. It says, Samson gave a feast, verse 10, for young men used to do so. And that word feast in the Hebrew literally means it is a drinking feast. It's a bachelor's party because young men used to do so. But not a Nazarite. Not a Nazarite. A Nazarite, man, they've got a vow. No intoxicating drink. But we see something that's going on here and something that's played out. What we do want to notice is what's not here. We have 30 Philistine men who are now a part of the groom's party. They bring on 30 Philistines to be a part of the groom's party. Now, that's unusual, don't you think? Because as you know, it was typical that you would have what was called a friends of the bridegroom. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 9, friends of the bridegroom. Man, remember, he's coming. Get ready for that wonderful celebration of the marriage. But here we see something. Where are his friends? Where are his friends? We have 30 new but now best friends, brand new. So where do they come from? When it comes right down to that, maybe he has no friends. Maybe he didn't tell his friends, or they just didn't want to come. Whatever the reason, it is worth noting here is that in chapters 13, chapters 14, chapters 15, chapters 16, Samson's a loner. He's a pure loner. Now, I don't know if you know pure loners, but he's one of them. I mean, you have no record of him marching with an army. He is not dealing with anybody of, say, a band of soldiers. He's not strategizing with some general. He has no conversations going on. Pure loner. Man, how many know that those are the kind of people that get picked off by the enemy? So we see something here, and he has total disrespect for his parents, disregard for his God, and he distances himself from his friends. Proverbs 18:1. It's a good one. Oftentimes I'll bring that up when certain individuals say, no, I don't really affiliate with any body of believers. I don't have any faith family. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment, Proverbs 18:1. So it's important. Number four, Samson downplayed his failure. Let's take a look at verse 12 now. Let's deal with verse 12. Then Samson said to them, this is his 30 new best buddies. He says to them, let me pose a riddle to you. And that's what they did in those days. They kind of like did, you know, party games, right? Party favors, icebreakers. Let's share our wits. And he said, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband, that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? And Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother, or so should I explain it to you? Now she had wept on him 7 days while the feast lasted. That's a terrible way to start a marriage, don't you think? She's crying before the honeymoon. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. And so the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Now, this is interesting because this marriage is not off to a great start. Would you agree? She's crying. His 30 best new buddies threaten to murder her father-in-law, burn their house, huh? And then he calls his wife a cow. That's not so good. So we see here what is the subject of this line, Samson downplays his failure, is that now he's making a joke out of his disobedience to God. He's making a joke out of his sin. He is not to touch a corpse. He is not to touch a dead thing. And he now brings his disobedient act into a riddle to say, I mean, you really have to be not only just a bad person to not think about how disruptive it is to disobey the Lord. You got to be a completely callous person to actually make a joke of it and include it in the affairs of your humor. And that's what Samson does. That's what Samson does. Samson downplayed his failure. So she coaches him to give the meaning of the riddle. All of a sudden, starts dealing with the issues that are happening here. Isn't it amazing that when people start to feel uncomfortable because somebody starts to get a little close to their weakness or to their failures, we start to deflect that. Have you found that out? We start to make a joke of it. We start to change the subject. And there are people that really master that. Don't touch me there. Just, and they'll, how about you? Oh, I see you do. And so they start to address it. But that only causes the person to become more isolated, more alone, and it really doesn't solve the problem. Let's take a look at number 5. So Samson decimated his enemies. Let's take a look at that. Because he disrespected his parents. He disregarded his God. He distanced his friends. He downplayed his failures. And then finally, man, he decimated his enemies. Look at verse 19, where we're at here in chapter 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. We take a look here. We've got a man, Samson is a man who has a cold heart, and man, he's got a hot head. So he goes down there, and he's addressing something, and he's going 23 miles south to Ashkelon, and he kills 30 guys he doesn't know. His 30 best new friends, they don't know. His wife doesn't know. He just goes down there, kills these guys, defiles himself further because he has to touch the dead dudes to get the clothing off. And why did he go 23 miles? Well, he moved in the strength of the Lord. He could get back there before news of what just happened in that city arrived. So what we see here is anger doesn't even consummate his marriage. Check out in verse 19. So his anger was aroused, last sentence, and he went back up to his father's house. So now his wife, it says, Samson's wife, verse 20, was given to his companion who had been his best man. Can you imagine that? Look what happened. While he's away, his wife marries his best man. That is like Jerry Springer show, doesn't it? Is that, what is that? Is that really in the Bible? Come on. Can you see the high cost of living a low life? I mean, it's terrible. This dude, we come to that point. How is it that people like this with such potential, such empowerment by the Holy Spirit, such a godly family, such a godly how does a person get to that? Well, Wally, we welcome our worship team. Let me give you three quick takeaways, because that's our summer series. And we want to learn from somebody else's failure. If I see somebody going down that path, I'd like to make the adjustments, because I don't want to have the end results that dude had. So here we have number one. Take God seriously. That's a good takeaway. Take God. Matter of fact, say that. Take God seriously. Take God seriously. Let's say it again. Yeah, it just sounds good. Here we have Samson did not take his vow seriously, and we have no record of this guy praying in the scriptures except at the end of his life. He prays, God, avenge me of my enemies. Let me die with him. Boom, and he moves the pillars. You got the story. Second takeaway, choose your friends wisely. Man, you get into bad environments, you become like your friends, but he didn't even have 30 buds. He had to bring on 30 guys that have no correlation with him. The vacuum of a need for friends, you go after stuff. Get some good friends. Choose your friends, because the vacuum will bring them your direction, and is that what you want to be like? Number three, make your choices cautiously, with caution. Wouldn't we say Samson was impulsive? Hey, Dad, I've seen this girl. She's beautiful. Get her for me. That's impulsive. I've never talked with her, but I think she's the one. Ha-ha! So in total disrespect for Dad's advice, that's not good. And he never prayed about those decisions. That's not good. Make your choices cautiously. Many of you have been around and you've heard me say that when we've walked through some dark gray days. I said, don't make that decision yet. Don't do it. Why not? Because you're at a spiritual low. Let's spend a couple of weeks, maybe a couple months, getting built up into Jesus. Then let's see if you'll still make the same decision. People make the worst decision by divorcing. Their tragic relationships with God leads them to say, I'll make my own break. Make your choices cautiously. Well, there it is. Hope you've enjoyed it. Let's stand and let's sing this song together, and let's see how the Lord will just help illuminate some things that we want to say, Lord, shore these things up in my life.
Give me faith.
you who are watching live stream and you who are here. What a perfect setting to say, wow, if there's any weakness in me, or you've never surrendered your life to the Lord, which means you're not too confident about His timing and when He's going to take you home, and if heaven is that destination, because you haven't made Christ your Savior, Lord. Some of us have made Him Savior, but we really haven't given Him lordship of things, or maybe there's a few of those corners and recesses of our legitimate transformation change, even as soon as this afternoon with the miracles of how you, God, says, I'll turn all things out for good. All things out for good. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.